Experience worship. True worship. Experience the Word, bringing you wholeness. Experience the warmth of fellowship. Experience wholeness at Lighthouse. Join us every Sunday and Wednesday at the Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. Visit our website at www.lighthouseng.org or contact us at info@lighthouseng.org. The Lighthouse, lighting your pathway to destiny.
Hallelujah. Just seated majestically in God's presence. Good evening, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, God is amazing. You know, God is amazing. God is amazing. The way He visits His children or His people is also amazing. And please, I want you to note down those words. And right from here tonight, I want you to set a time. You know, if those words concerns you, right from tonight, you know, set a time to dance before the Lord. Set a time to dance before the Lord. You know, it's just so interesting the way God connects things. There was a project that, you know, typically we get notification about maybe like earlier in the year or something, start preparing and all that. And we went through all the entire quarter of the year and nothing was coming up. And then a call came in this week that this is happening. Just send your invoice. You know, and as I was just there worshiping, you know, the Holy Spirit just began to speak to me about certain individuals that are joining us tonight. That I've also closed the chapter for the year on certain expectation that is turning back the hand of time on your behalf. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says that I rejoice at your word like he that has found a great spoil. I don't know if someone has found a great spoil tonight. I don't know if that word came to you as a great spoil for the rest of this year. If indeed it's to you as a great spoil, I want you to rejoice. Just rejoice. Just rejoice. Just rejoice. Hallelujah. 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 Please, let's be enough. Let's just rejoice before God. Just bless him. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we bless you. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise for what you're doing. We magnify your name. Your word is true. Your word is true. You can't be dependent on. Lord, we bless you. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord, for this mighty visitation. Lord, we bless you. We thank you, Lord, because you've spoken it. You're bringing it to pass. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we bless you. You are a sun and a shield. You give grace and glory. No good thing do you withhold from everyone that walk uprightly before you. Lord, we bless you. Thank you, Lord, because you bring this word to pass. And you fill our mouths with laughter. Blessed be your name, O God. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we've rejoiced. Amen. Hallelujah. Please sit down majestically as we look into God's word. Amen. Amen. The Bible says that in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. You know, hallelujah. I'm really so excited, you know, about what God is doing at this time. And want to appreciate, you know, my father, the senior pastor, for the opportunity to bring God's word to us once again tonight. You know, I was asking previous Wednesday, is this for one Wednesday? And I was told just flow in the spirit. And last week I flowed in the spirit. And we went halfway. So today, by God's grace, we're going to conclude. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things that we should know as we look into the part 2 of the fruit of the Spirit is that as believers, you know, I was telling us last week that there are two things, two dimensions that the Holy Spirit brings to us, you know, when we give our life to Christ. There is the nature of God that it develops in us. Then there is the ability of God that is impacted through us. I talk about that nature of God finding expressions as the fruit, and that ability finding expressions as the gift, as the anointing of the Holy Spirit. One of the things that we must note as believers in our journey, and as we also go on the journey of discipling other believers, that it is important to crave for the expressions of the fruit of the Spirit, you know, ahead of the gift. Now, there are two dimensions of the Holy Spirit that are important, but it is imperative for us. I don't want to use important again. It is imperative for us as believers that we crave for the formation of the nature of God. We crave for the expression of the nature of God. Apostle Paul says that my little children for whom I travail till Christ be formed in you. We crave for that nature of Christ being formed in us ahead of the gift. Because you see, when the nature is formed in us and we have understanding of who the Holy Spirit is to us and what he has come to do in us, the gift will naturally flow. The gifts will naturally flow. Hallelujah. You know, so that's why it's important to build a strong spirit as a believer. You know, there is no battle in this life that you cannot win when the nature of God has been formed in you. Hallelujah. The way to live our life as believers is to express the nature of God. So this is it. As an individual, that the nature of Christ is forming within, no matter the situation you meet in life, you will overcome it. And you see, the provision that God has made for us as individuals is to live our daily life expressing the nature of God. One of the things that a lot of people don't understand is that the gift of the Spirit is for blessing to the church. And the Holy Spirit determines or controls how it functions. Hallelujah. But as a believer, when you build a strong spirit, when you allow the nature of God to develop in you, that is for your daily living. Glory to God. Galatians chapter 5. We'll read from verse 19 once again. Galatians chapter 5 from verse 19. Now the doings, practices of the flesh are clear, obvious. They are immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, ill-tempered, selfishness, divisions, dissensions, party spirit, factions, sects, with peculiar opinions, heresies. 21. Envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which is present within accomplishes, is love, joy, that is gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, let's go through, gentleness or meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, continence. Against such things, there is no law that can bring a charge. Hallelujah. And last week, we look at the first five. We look at love, and we define love as what? Unconditional, undeserved, and unconditional appreciation or love, or unconditional expression of our goodness to people. Unpremised, undeserving, unconditional kindness, expression, goodness, in all variety to people. Hallelujah. Remember that we emphasize the fact that everything that you see along the lines of all the fruits find its roots in that word love. Because that's the commandment that God has given to us, to love God and to love man. Once you love man unconditionally, you are able to fulfill all of these expressions. But the fruit is listed here by Apostle Paul through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit for us as believers to be able to have like a thermometer to measure our temperature as believers, to gauge our life as believers. Verse 19 talks about the works of the flesh are manifest. It means that anyone that lives out those works of the flesh, obviously, apparently, is not growing in relationship with God. First and foremost, you can easily even establish that, one, there is a disconnect. There is a disconnect. If that connection is there, then what we should be seeing growing or manifesting from that person had the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Then we talk about joy. Joy, the delight that comes by the Holy Ghost, not happiness that is stimulated by things, but joy that comes by the Holy Ghost, irrespective of, situation, irrespective of what we're experiencing on the outside, there is a joy. There is a joy that is not dependent on any circumstances. Then we went to peace. Peace, meaning being in that state of wholeness, of harmony, of togetherness, amidst obvious challenges. And we establish that that's peace. It's not the peace that anyone can give. It's not peace that you try to broker between Israel and Palestine, or between Ukraine and Russia, or even between China and Hong Kong. It's the peace that comes from God. The peace that only the Prince of Peace can give. That no matter how bad the situation is, you are at peace. And people are even marveling at that. How come you're at peace? Then forbearance, long suffering. The part that believers don't want to hear. Someone said suffer for long. But it's really about just being able to withstand situation. Bear with people. Just keep extending the hand of mercy, to people. Then I think we got on kindness, right? We stopped with kindness. Kindness. Yeah, I think we stopped on kindness. And kindness here simply means moral goodness. Just being generous. One of the things that you see in a city like Lagos is that, particularly on the road, right, you realize how unkind people are. People are not generous with that. once they are behind the wheel like this. Oh, don't come near. You know. But as believers, we should be kind-hearted. We should be able to be a blessing to people unrestrained. We should be able to have, you know, that capacity to touch people's life by doing things, you know, that ordinary people wouldn't do. Hallelujah. You know, when we look at some of these expressions, we realize that by human flesh, by just willpower, there is no way we can do it. Because these are not expressions that happen because, you know, you just make up your mind or just determine that I want to be kind. I don't know how many times, you know, within you, you just resolve that, oh, no matter what happened today, I'm not gonna allow any driver to get at me. Whatever they do, I'll just pass it and you just get to the road and someone just, you know, drove nonsense. And right within you, I mean, you probably didn't even see anything, but what you've mustered within you, you know, like, man, then it now occurs to you that, oh, just let it go. Just let it go. Because it takes the nature of God, it takes the Spirit of God to help us manage these things. Hallelujah. We need to be kind-hearted. We need to be kind-hearted. You need to be kind-hearted. Goodness. Now I'm going to connect a few ones together so that I can spend time to touch on the parts that I feel the Holy Spirit will really want me to emphasize. Goodness simply means uprightness of heart. You know? Uprightness of heart, you know. Doing good things consistently. You know, we have a saying that, yeah, it can be good, but it's not God. But if it's God, it is good, right? If the nature of God is in you, you will do good things consistently. You know what is right to do, and you do it. You know what is the right process to follow, and you follow it. Goodness is seen in our actions. You can't just claim that, you know, you're full of goodness. It has to be expressed in our action. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. Says, we pray for God's power to help you do all the good things you hope to do and your faith makes you want to do. All the good things you hope to do and your faith makes you want to do. That capacity to express it, to lead a life that is extraordinary. Hallelujah. Because we know that this extraordinary day is just ahead, we pray for you all the time. Pray that our God will make you fit for what is called you to do. Pray that it will fill your good ideas. It will fill your good ideas and act of faith with its own energy so that it all amounts to something. You see, God is working in us both to will to make up our mind and to do those things. Because you see, one thing we must know as believers is that we don't work these things out by the flesh. I must keep emphasizing that. It is not about keeping laws. The Bible says that for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. Because the law in itself could not work these things in us. So it's not about the do's, the don'ts of the laws of Moses. This is about walking in step with the Holy Spirit to work out these expressions in us. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Or faith. Depending on the version of the Bible. But because I tried to go to the Greek word there. The Greek word is still pistis, meaning faith. Faith. That ability to put your trust in God. That ability to rely on God. The Bible says that for without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the nature that the Holy Spirit is working in us is that nature that pleases God. So, faith. You see, one of the things that we must build into our wiring, we must allow the Holy Spirit to build into our wiring. The point is that the Holy Spirit triggers us as believers. It is usually about our yieldedness to this. One of the things that we must allow the Holy Ghost to build into our wiring is ability to believe God for everything. To put our confidence in God in every circumstance. You see, there are times that we look at certain things, we look at our natural ability, and we just write it off that this is done. There are certain things, we look at certain projects, we look at our bank account, and we just say, done. You know, we have some plan for certain trip. We look at all the resources that we have for it, and in our head, we just say, done. The Bible says that trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, in all your ways. Where you have all the resources available, you acknowledge Him. When you don't have the resources available, you acknowledge Him. When you have the capacity, you acknowledge Him. When you don't have the capacity, you are in all your ways. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. You see, the reason why when people fail woefully at certain things that they believe that it was never going to be possible that I fail, why would I, you know, I don't know if you've seen some students react after some exam result comes out. I'm like, move 4 questions. They said answer 3. I answered the entire 5. They should pick the 3 that they want. You know. The Bible says we don't put confidence in the flesh. Says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. So no matter where I am, no matter what I have, no matter the connection that I can access, for everything in life, I must acknowledge God first. I must acknowledge God first. Meaning that I must recognize that God, you are the one that has given me the ability to get the wealth that I want to use for this project. Thank you. And I trust you that you guide me in dispensing these resources for this project. Lord, I thank you for this project I want to do. I don't have the resources yet, but Lord, I believe you for the resources. You know, the category that usually tend to run to God or acknowledge God. And people that the resources are not sufficient, you know. But either you have enough resources or you don't have enough resources, our faith must be on God. Our faith must be on God. You know, Jesus asks a question. He says, by the time the Lord returns, will he find faith on the earth? And when you look around, that's what is happening. People are becoming independent. If your mind can conceive it, you can achieve it. There are several ways. I mean, but you see, that's not the will of God. You remember the men that were building the Tower of Babel? They decided that they were going to build a tower that the roof is going to be touching heaven. They want to make a name for themselves and not a name for God. You see, the Bible says that the heavens, even the heavens, belongs to God. The earth he has given to the sons of men. What he wants out of the earth is glory to his name. He does not have any challenge in giving us the entire earth and its resources. But we need to be able to also show that in all things that we have, we give him glory, we acknowledge him first. So it's important as believers that we learn to put our trust in God. Our loyalty must be to God, not to the things that we have. Our confidence must be in God and not in the things that we possess or the people that we have. Number 8, meekness. Meekness. This also has, you know, similar translation as gentleness. But in this case, it's like you have, I don't know if you've seen maybe some Instagram video or some of this Nigel Wild video and all that, and you see someone, you know, rubbing the head of a lion. You know, I'm sure you've seen some of those videos. See people working with, you know. Yeah, there are some animals that they call Liga. That's the crossbreed of lion and tiger that they domesticate, yes. So they crossbreed them and kind of domesticate them. So they come how they are very big, very massive, very huge, depending on how they train them and what meat they train them with. So they have that nature, and, you know, people more like pet them, you know, do all of those things. They take pictures with them, you know, and all that. But the day that the cock comes home to roost and the thing opens his mouth, it devours as many people, then we see flash in the news, casualty, this one happened and all that. You know, there was one story of a woman. So, I mean, so interesting the things that happens in the West, right? See people keeping snake as pets, you know, keeping, you know. it's a picture of the world to come, right? In the New Jerusalem, we all keep lions as pets and all that. But in this world where we are currently, before the New Jerusalem happened. So there are some people that try to experiment. They try to project into the New Jerusalem. You know? But you see, what happens is that those wild animals are tamed. And you see, what it means is that even though the lion has the capacity to, at a strike, snuff out life from that person, he chooses to be obedient and allows the person to do whatever he wants to do to it. The snake or the python has the capacity to coil around, you know, whichever is the master or the child or whatever it is at home, and stretch and snuff life out, but chooses to be, you know, parted. That is meekness. That's power under control. You have the power at a signature, or at a letter, or at a decree, to literally take the person out of the organization. But you choose not to. You choose not to. You see, you don't know what meekness is if you are not in a position of power in comparison to other people. Where has the madam of the house, and you have a house help that they brought from maybe the village or something, you know, and the girl does something. I say, yeah, pack your bag tomorrow. You are back to the village. Meekness. Meekness. You know, the employee crosses your path. How can you talk to me like that? You raise your voice at me? Okay. Don't come here tomorrow. Work has ended. Meekness. I don't know if you've seen some of those people, you know, in their attire with, you know, people that have stars on their shoulder, you know, and they are blowing their siren and all that, and maybe just cross paths with them on the road. Then they come down, cocking it. You know, they are showing power. Assuring power. But I've also seen some of them that with all the authority, with everything that they have, they plead. They rather speak to you gently and calmly, that please, can you allow us to pass? Power under control. You know, one of the difficult things to tell Nigerians to do is to be meek. Everybody seems to be on a drive to show, do you know who I am? I don't know how many times you've heard that statement. You're talking to me like that. Do you know who I am? I want you to just think over just this year and think about different situations that you've almost, or maybe you even voiced it out. Do you know who I am? How can you be keeping me here? Meekness. 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 You know, I just remembered a quick story. There was a minister that was invited to a campus to preach, and he got to the meet. I mean, a notable minister. They've been trying to get him, and eventually they got him to come and preach on their campus, and he agreed to come. And that day, he got to the meeting venue. There were some, you know, the way people that are organizing technicals and all that. His car was far away from the main program venue. It was one of these open field program. And he got there, just sat down, simple and all that. Then they were moving things and all that. Then one of the technical guys just came and met him there. Uncle, let's carry this thing together, you know. And he just jumped up. And he started moving tables with them. And they were just moving the tables and all of that. By the time they were done with the tables, everybody sat down. They sat down at the back, and they were now waiting for the guest minister. You know, because nobody had come to welcome him in the first instance, they couldn't have given him the program for him to know when he's even coming up or not and all that. He just sat down gently. Then one person now recognized him. And just like, you know, and he was saying that he felt after that experience that what about if it was just God just testing him? That after all that you've done, after all the opportunity I've given to you to rise, the revelation, the impact in ministry, can I still trust you to carry tebu for me? You know, it's a lifestyle that we must. It's difficult. You know, when they say that you should not wear your wealth for everybody to see. That's anti-Africa or anti-Nigeria. When pepe don't rest, when there is yam, when there is, you know, people want to show it. Power under control. Then the last one is a good layer on that. Self-control or temperance. Self-control or temperance. And this specifically speaks to our appetite. You know, there are things that are nice to the flesh. There are things that, you know one thing about this human flesh, this flesh that we have, is that once you expose it to certain thing and it likes it, it can't get enough of that thing. It always wants it. So you taste certain kind of food, you know, you like it. You don't know why you keep driving to that place after work before you go back home. You just don't know. There is something that, you know, there is something that makes me, you know, there's just something that takes you there again and again and again. It's normal for the flesh to crave for such desires. And you know, this thing also happens when you are addicted to certain things. Someone say that, don't touch that part. Now, there are addictions to substances that are obvious. But the Bible, Apostle Paul is not speaking to believers because he does not expect believers to be addicted to substances. But if a believer happens to be addicted to it, there is deliverance in God's word. Because you can also activate the same scripture, the same power of the Holy Ghost to work in you. But you see, here he's specifically addressing believers, speaking to them about how to really hold yourself in different circumstances. So there is, for example, you know, God gives us different instructions. There are collective instructions, there are personal instructions. You know, there are times that the Holy Spirit will just whisper to your heart that I don't want you to eat today. Or I want you to skip breakfast today. I just want you to, you know, just to be able to spend time and hear me. Are you able to hold yourself in from, no, I take breakfast at 8 or at 9 or holding yourself in? You see, the bottom line is that the Bible teaches about moderation. Moderation. Understanding the place of moderation in everything that our flesh craves for is very important. Moderation. Either in eating, in drinking. You know, this also applies to, you know, husband and wife too. You understand? Moderation. Hold yourself in. Hallelujah. So having looked at all these nine areas, you see, there's something about spiritual discipline. Just still touching on the self-control, temperance. But there's something about spiritual discipline that actually help us realize this spiritual growth. Love is the basis for the expression of all of this. But we need the self-control to be able to align ourselves with God and experience all of these things. You see, to have a daily walk with God, we need self-control. Ability to... You know, there is something that people that ride horses, the horse owners, used to do for horses. They bridle them. They bridle them. So you see a horse, you see the rope that is passed through the nose and all that. It's to bridle the horse, to correct the horse. You know, David said, set a watch on my lips, set a guard on my mouth. Why? Because I don't want to say things that does not glorify you. It says, let the words of my mouth. It says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. You see, there are some believers in the multitude of talking. They don't want to backbite, oh. But because they just talk too much, it slips out. And before you know it, you're speaking words that brings about dissensions among brethren and all that. You know, they set a guard on my lips. And there's another place, I think Job 21, when Job said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why should I look lustfully upon a maid? I have made a covenant. Why will I look lustfully? You see, the problem of so many believers is Netflix. Netflix. And some, it is Instagram. Some, it is WhatsApp status. That's the reason why they are not spending time to pray or to read God's word. Because these are the ready alternatives. Ability to cut down on time spent on those things to focus on spiritual meal. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. When the Holy Ghost comes, the power to become like Jesus comes upon us. You see, most of the time we look at this from the angle of the gift, the expression of the anointing. But see what it says. It says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The Holy Ghost comes with power. Then he says, you shall be witnesses to me. Most of the time we think about the witnesses from the angle of power, demonstrating God's power. But he says, you shall be witnesses to me. The Bible says that, let your light so shine among men that they will see your good works and give glory to your Father. That's witnessing. So you enter into your world expressing the fruit of the Spirit, and people are recognizing God in us. Hallelujah. It's important we understand that we are to be witnesses in our Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. God's desire is that at some point in your life, you are going to travel across the ocean to some other places that is not exactly your people. Well, some people might not believe it. You know, some way, somehow, you are enabled on your journey in life to travel. So some people's travel, it might be that they go for vacation. While they go on vacation, they meet people at the airports, departing airports, on the flight, arrival airports, the people they meet while they are there, people they interact with while they are there, they're just being witnesses. Who says you can't tie number of souls to your vacation? And it could be on mission work. And you know, when we think of mission work, we think about, you know, Africa and all that. And, you know, I'm aware that there are some places, some mission fields now in Europe, in America, in Canada, you know, particularly Southern America, you know. They're just on that journey bearing witness. I mean, I said that to also expand some people's mind, you know. It is not just that it is the will of God for you to be here and die here. It's also the will of God for you to see other. It says in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, in the end of the earth. Hallelujah. As we tie this together, John chapter 15, verse 5. John chapter 15, verse 5. Please, let's read from verse 1. Let's read from verse 1. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. This is Jesus speaking. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that he may bear more fruit. You see, this is, just please, just keep that verse 2. Just a bit of explanation. Verse 2, John 15, verse 2. You see, one of the things that we should understand is that when a believer is not growing, is not bearing fruit, that person over time begins to decline. Begins to decline. Because bearing fruit is a sign of life. Growth is a sign of life. Anywhere you have plant, if the plant is not growing, it's dying. So when a believer is not growing, that individual is dying. So it's not like God himself will come and break it really and take it away. There is a natural law in place that makes a drying branch to fall off. I don't know if you've seen trees. I see the dry part of those. They naturally fall off. There's a law in place. But if it bears fruit, it is helped to bear much more. Verse 3. John 15, verse 3. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. There is no hope of bearing fruit without that connectedness to God and His Spirit. Verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now you can see that the ability to express this nature is not by keeping the law of Moses. It's not by observing the do's and the don'ts of the law of Moses. No. It's just by plugging into the master. Just being connected with the master. And when you're connected with the master, it means that there is a connection with the Holy Spirit that you have. Because there has to be a relationship for fruits to come out. Hallelujah. I don't know if you've ever observed. There is no way animals, live animals can be produced, either in the lab or whatever it is, without a connection. There has to be a bringing together a seed from a male, you know, to, there has to be that connection from whatever it is that has the power to create that origination. When we remain connected with God in the place of fellowship, in the place of studying God's word, what happens is that, as we saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, as we behold, as in a glass, the image of God, the nature of God, we are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. You see, the summary is that, yes, we have understanding of what is expected of us as believers. We have understanding of what we are supposed to express as believers, you know, but we must also understand that our ability to express those things comes from our fellowship, our relationship with the Holy Ghost. That's why you must do everything to protect that relationship and to nurture that relationship. So when we say that as believers, you should designate time that you meditate on God's word, time that you pray every day, it's because you need to remain connected to your source. When you spend time in meditation, time in prayers, time praying in the Spirit, what you're doing is that you are reinforcing your connection to your source. You know, one of the beautiful things that happens when we pray is that there is a transformation that happens to us. It's so interesting. So, you know, there are things that you cannot even use science to explain about God. You spend time meditating on God's word, then you just realize that all of a sudden, from inside out, your cravings begin to change. Your appetite begin to change. You just realize that you now have control. You know, where you think you don't have control over a situation, you now have control. You can determine what to do instead of acting erratic. You can choose to be kind. You can choose to be gentle. You can choose to be a blessing, to give, because now the Holy Ghost is enabling you from the inside. But there is that commitment that we must make, which is ensuring we spend time with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if we are living here tonight with the decision to set time aside on a daily basis to spend in God's word, to spend praying, you know, to God. I don't know if we've made up our mind that every day we're going to be living our life following the Holy Ghost. As we wrap up tonight, kindly be, let's be on our feet. I want us to see one verse. One verse, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians 5:16, as we close. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." This is the summary. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I want us to just, you know, pray to God tonight that, "Sweet Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. Help me. Help me to walk in the Spirit. Help me to keep in step with you. In the name of Jesus."
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,